This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation, we are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this, we know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
You got mail.
Hello, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamarez.
And this is Go Touch Grass, the podcast where we log in.
So you log out.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on every episode of the pod, we'll be breaking down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you don't have to.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all of our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. Not the past train.
But that's a discourse.
That's a discourse.
Discourse is a whole other discourse.
Yeah, Millie needs to stop sleeping with guys that live in Jersey City.
And put a pin in that discourse. And hey, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you're liking the pod, it really helps us out.
Please do.
All right, Millie, I'm anchoring today's episode.
I'm so excited.
And I have a game for you. And here's something that's real. This is a little behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I had, as of last night, mm-hmm. I had an entirely different game.
Wow. Here.
I was going to talk about the vibe session, mm-hmm. which is the idea that even though we're not in a recession, it feels like one because of inflation.
Yeah.
Millie and I had a conversation about this in a cab that I completely forgot.
She blacked out
after our launch party. Totally fine.
We had a little launch party. It was cute.
It was really cute.
Too many cupcakes.
But they were really, really good. And we just finished off the ones that we took home. So I had this whole vibe session game planned mm-hmm. out. It was all based on this guy who said that he regularly orders $150 worth of DoorDash Outback Steakhouse. Yes. We were going to build our own $150 Outback Steakhouse order together.
Also, that guy was complaining about $150, but he got two steaks and a lobster tail.
He got two Bloomin' Onions, lobster tails, a sirloin steak, and a salad. So, like, he actually got a pretty good
deal. That's $100.
And you're DoorDashing it, and you have to tip and stuff. So then people are being like, well, you could just go pick it up and you would maybe spend less. But we're not talking about that.
We're not even talking about that.
We're not talking about that because this morning, something came across my feed that was so explosive, so important, that I had to change the game to bring this discourse and
launch
for the first time our segment.
You got mail.
Dispatch from the Animal Kingdom.
Wow, we're waiting on this.
I know, we have been waiting for an opportunity.
So what is Dispatch from the Animal Kingdom?
This is our segment where we talk about viral animals. You know, yeah. Orca discourse mm-hmm. would go here. That seal that was stealing surfboards
and
would
biting
go here.
People and shit, yeah.
And now.
There's like a sexy gorilla.
Sexy gorilla would go
in
here.
In Japan, yeah.
Back in the day, not to bring the mood down, but Harambe would maybe go here.
Harambe. I thought you were going to say Coco, because we miss Coco.
Yeah.
The sign language gorilla.
Again, this is where our animals will go. And now I want to introduce you mm-hmm. to Neil the seal. Have you heard about Neil?
I don't think so.
Okay. Neil is taking TikTok by storm. He is a 1,300-pound elephant seal.
Oh, I think I know.
Who is delightfully terrorizing the people of Dunalley, Tasmania. That's in Australia.
An island off the coast of Australia.
Yes, exactly. Small, kind of remote area. Mm-hmm. It's home to about 300 residents. So again, small. And I'm just going to play you a little video of Neil here. And before I play it, I will say it's from the Daily Mail. And I will say that they've made a strange choice with the voiceover.
Okay. Daily Mail.
You know, I try not to use too much Daily Mail, but sometimes...
Sometimes they're the only ones that do shit like this.
Neil the Seal is making quite the name for himself during a visit outside the water. And with moves like this, it's not hard to see why.
So he's an exhibitionist, really.
Yeah. And he is big. He's a big seal.
Yeah.
Twice! Neil the Seal is making a big splash in Tasmania.
So, yeah, again, I don't know what's going on with the voiceover.
Yeah, that's
like,
weird.
A weird, like, Mickey Mouse voiceover.
TikTok voiceover is the SpongeBob one.
The
people
point,
love a voiceover.
The point is, Neil the Seal, he's taking TikTok by storm. He's a very large elephant seal. Here's another video posted by a resident showing how he kind of, he causes playful mischief. Here he is kind of running down a party full of people. This is a man finding Neil in front of his home.
I mean, Neil's just chilling.
What would you do if you lived here and you walked out the front door to greet Neil the seal? Someone lives here, Neil.
Neil don't give a fuck.
No, Neil does not give a fuck.
Someone lives here, mate.
I do like just saying, like, Neil, this is my house.
So Neil knows what he's doing.
Neil, listen, Neil is basically the mayor of this town at this point.
Yeah.
It's Neil's town. Everybody else is just
living,
living
in it.
So for today's game, I'm going to ask you, true or false, did Neil do it?
Okay.
These are all things that maybe Neil the Seal has done in his work, sort of playfully terrorizing and menacing this town.
Mm-hmm. Playful terrorist.
Playful terrorist Neil the Seal. Number one, has Neil been videotaped attacking multiple traffic cones?
I would say true. Yes.
He has.
He
Neil has. Has Neil been videotaped attacking multiple signs for local businesses?
I'm going to say yes.
He has.
Yeah.
He has. Has Neil fallen asleep behind people's cars, causing them to have to call in late for work because they cannot move their car and he won't move?
I'm going to say yeah.
He has also done that. Has Neil regularly beefed with and disrespected the Dunolly police force?
I mean, ACAB seal. Yes, I'm going to say yeah.
He has. He has. Has Neil engaged in a standoff with the Dunolly police force?
I'm going to say yes.
Millie, you're right again. He has done that. Has Neil been pushed all the way back to the ocean by locals using tarps and makeshift tools only to refuse to get back in?
I'm going to say yes.
And once again, he has done that. And this is the final one. Has Neil chased a man in a wheelchair?
Neil, no.
So the answer is unclear. Because... as I was researching this episode, Neil the Seal wheelchair kept popping up as a search term on TikTok, but I could not find a video of him doing such a thing or any evidence that he had done it.
Don't be dragging Neil's name in the mud.
So I don't know if that's, I don't know why that search was coming up, but I would say that the accusations of ableism against Neil are unfounded.
Wow.
There's no evidence of that. But everything else Neil did do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, open invitation, Neil.
Neil the Seal. You can come. Now, we have a friend that lives, or kind of, like, Tasmania.
Yeah, we have a friend whose parents live in Tasmania. So I did actually text him about this. And he is going back to Tasmania for the holidays. And I said, have your parents or you encountered Neil? And he said, no, but I am going to try to find him.
Okay.
So we will report back as to whether or not
we have a correspondent on the ground in Australia.
Exactly.
Down under.
Exactly. Go Touch Grass. You know, our network is wide.
Yeah.
It's not just New York.
No.
We're New York based, but we have people everywhere.
We have people everywhere.
And, you know, watch this space for potential Neil updates.
Neil content. Wow.
Wow. I know.
Wow,
he's a prolific gentleman and a really great way, I think, to start Dispatch from the
Animal
Kingdom.
And you know what? I don't appreciate the fucking accusations that he's, you know,
chasing people in wheelchairs.
That's just not Neil.
I couldn't find it anywhere. And I clicked that search term and I looked through all the videos and I did not see one video where Neil was doing that.
Mm-mm.
Not one.
It's not like him.
No, exactly. It's not like him.
That's not, the crime don't fit.
No, exactly. When I, and that's why when I saw it, I said, that's not Neil.
That's not Neil.
Neil's not doing that.
Neil's not doing that.
Neil's a pacifist ultimately, unless he's opposing the police. Cops,
and then, you know, hey.
And then, hey. Maybe he's, does that still count as pacifism? That's a discourse for another day.
Yeah, that's a discourse. Really, really got to put a pin in that.
So speaking of the discourse.
Let's hear it. I'm so ready for this.
I know what this discourse is.
I peaked a little bit, but I want to hear your deep dive.
So today's discourse is about the TikToker at Being Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Being Julia is an elementary school teacher from Canada, mm-hmm, who in her spare time has a fashion account in which she does a bunch of different types of videos. She'll do hauls. Because she's a teacher, she'll do like teacher fashion. Mm-hmm. She'll do fall fashion updates. But her most popular series is a series called Updating Classic Millennial Fits.
Okay.
And so I'm going to just play like a little piece of her video so we can hear her. Now, you are familiar with her,
correct? Yeah, I've
seen
her before.
You've seen her before. Okay. And her videos will get anywhere between like 100,000 to 2 million views.
Yeah.
So she's doing it. Mm-hmm. And by updating the video, by updating, she doesn't mean like taking the same pieces and repurposing them. She means like taking the same vibe, yeah, of an outfit and updating it for 2023. So it's like she'll have an outfit that's like a 2014 striped sweater, skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And then she'll update it with like a stripe that's more in style, yeah, now. And then
and
a jean.
Jean.
Yeah, yeah, a jean cut that's more in style now,
yeah,
basically. So here is Julia. I'm just going to play a little bit of her video so you can hear like the tone in which she delivers this message.
Another classically millennial outfit. Today we're going to talk about the classic fall uniform, sweater, jeans, and boots. And I wear sweaters, jeans, and boots all the time. So let's talk about how we update something like this.
So that's perfect. Like, that's just...
I want to keep up.
You want to keep up.
I'm like, I want to know. Cut off the jeans, yes.
So when updating, we really want to think about two things. The style of the sweater and the cut of the boots. So let me show you what I would wear. And as always, if you love this outfit, wear it. This video is just for people who are curious and what's trendier in 2022.
Okay, so you get the vibe. Initial impression of her tone and delivery, Millie.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, again, she's saying, if you want to wear that, wear it. But if you want to know what's popular now, this is what you should wear.
Exactly.
And I do feel, yeah, so that's, yeah.
And so you notice that she had to give this disclaimer on the video being like, it's fine if you don't want to wear these outfits or if you're not interested in updating your wardrobe.
That's a very common TikTok thing that you'll see, though. Like, people are already anticipating the hate because someone's like, I'm going to make this recipe. I'm going to use butter. I know that you can use oil. I like butter better. If you have oil, that's fine. Because people will... comment the dumbest shit of like, well, what if I don't have butter?
Yeah. Well, there was that one very viral discourse about a person who was making a bean soup and it was called three bean soup and people in the comments were like, but I don't like beans. And then it's like, then the recipe isn't for you.
Exactly.
Then you're not going to be making the bean soup.
Yeah.
But Being Julia has to put these disclaimers in her videos because she has one of the most deranged comment sections,
okay,
you can possibly encounter for someone who, as you just heard, is really delivering a very
neutral
message. So she even more recently had to make a full video addressing some of the comments on her videos and just being like, hey, again, like, you don't have to listen to me. I'm a random lady in Canada. These videos are just for people who like fashion and are interested in updating their style. You don't have to. She now also has a playlist called Let's Talk About It that's her addressing the most common hate comments that she gets, mm-hmm, because people come,
yeah,
for this girl. So I went through her comment section for this discourse. I sustained intense psychological damage doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, wow. Guys, and this is investigative journalism that we're doing here.
It
for
really
you.
Is. I spent a lot of time looking through this girl's comment section. And I will say there are a lot of people saying, this is really helpful. I don't understand why you get the hate. Like,
yeah.
The majority of her comment section is positive. But there is always, I would say, like a quarter of the comments are people who are pissed at this girl. So I've divided up the comments into a couple different categories, mm-hmm. and we're going to go them from like least to most valid.
Okay.
So the number one comment that she gets on every video, Millie, I want you to read these. The some variation of this.
You will pry skinny jeans for my dead hands. I think she means from
yeah.
And then
she's so infuriated. There, yeah. There's typos.
You can peel my ripped skinnies off my cold, dead millennial body.
So that's the number one comment that she gets there. I did not realize the level of devotion to skinny jeans.
Well, I do hear, you know, everything time and place. The other day, and I got a lot of clothes from a clothing swap. So I have these black skinny jeans. And, like, I went to the dog park in them. And, like, they're great, like, dog park or, like, running around my neighborhood kind of thing. I think some people, you know, this woman who was, like, she's like, wait, I'm supposed to put all this body. She had, like, a really huge ass and, like, nice hips, a very curvaceous body. She's like, I'm not going to put my body in construction worker pants. Like, these are meant for skinny. Like, I want my form-fitting shit. And it's just like, yeah. I like a looser pant. I mean, it's all about the vibe, right?
Yeah.
It's all about the vibe. If I'm trying to, again, just be casual, whatever. If I want to, like, look dressier, trendier, I'll wear, like, a looser. But the looser pant, the tighter top. And, you know, yeah. I love a crop, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I have a pair of ripped black skinny jeans still in my closet that mm-hmm. sometimes it's appropriate time to wear them. And I really don't think that being Julia is saying never wear skinny jeans. She's just saying for the most updated 2023 style, it's usually not a skinny jean.
Now, can I say mm-hmm. in defense of the people who are hating, and I don't know if mm-hmm. we're going to get to it, but she's not saying her videos aren't titled how to update former trends. They specifically say millennial.
Yes.
So I feel like it's kind of like that's the incendiary thing that makes people feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm sure that's what's getting people to watch your fucking videos.
So that is one of the segments I'm talking, I put in here, which is people who are sent into a blind rage mm-hmm. by the use of the word millennial.
Yeah.
So those, I'll skip down to that. I had that one as number three.
Okay.
But
okay.
we'll skip but to it right now. But you brought
we'll
it up.
Two. And then we'll go to two because I do want to know too.
People say, I guess I'm going to stay outdated. Immediately no. Forever a millennial and proud. 2014 was better. Millennial style can't be outdone. I have a problem with all these people coming for us. Why can't we just wear what we want and not have to worry about being called out? So there are people who feel because of the way that Gen Z has treated millennials online, people get really defensive of the fact that she's saying millennial fits. Some people commented and they were like, you should just say updating 2010s fits.
Yeah.
Which would be like as accurate, but like you said, that's I do think putting millennial on there is what's
engagement.
Getting more engagement. And I do think that the people that she's talking to are millennials who don't know how to update necessarily their style from like when we were the ones who were in charge of fashion. And unfortunately, Gen Z is now kind of more in charge of fashion.
Or like setting the trends. I would say
setting trends.
Not in charge of fashion. I'll also say this, like, again, in defense of the millennial. But it's like, for the longest time, everyone older than us was like, millennials are so entitled. Avocado toast. You're stupid. It was even a long time to be like, no, we're not like teens anymore. Yeah. We're like in our 30s, in our 20s. Some of us are in our 40s.
I do think that a lot of millennials, and I I'll admit to it. I've gotten my feelings hurt by things that have been said online about us.
Oh,
yeah.
Cringe and the reply gifts. You know I love a reply gift. Oh, reply gifts are out or this and that. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I have had to have my own journey with the fact that I was a Harry Potter kid. Different discourse.
That's
different
a whole
day.
Different discourse.
But I've been hurt by things that have been said online about millennials. And I do feel like sometimes Gen Z, what they say is a millennial personality is actually like a YouTuber's personality.
Yeah, I don't really want to hear that cringe millennial. Like every big popular thing that you guys use is from Black people. Like, I'm just like, whatever, dog.
It also annoys me when Gen Z will be like, you guys had the chance to fix the planet and you didn't. I'm like, whoa. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was the first millennial to get into Congress. Yeah. We have not been pulling the strings here. That is still the boomers and to some extent Gen X. Like, let's not... I voted for the first time for Obama.
Yeah.
I voted for Obama and I'd do it 3 times.
Yeah.
No, but...
Okay. Calm down, Lisa. You know, you got to let that pass through because I'm like, I know they're not talking about me because I know what the fuck I'm doing and I know what the fuck I'm wearing. And I know what the fuck I did. So like,
and I know I'm not saying doggo or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not saying any of that. So like, yeah, you can talk, you can impart this like personality or whatever. That's not me. So I don't even care, you know, whatever. But
her comments, I think people are taking that hurt that they feel from Gen Z maligning us. And it's showing up in her comment section, mm-hmm. I think kind of unfairly.
Well, and I'm also like, she is Black, so, you know, or like,
I can't,
multiracial.
She seems, ethnically ambiguous, I'm not sure.
I feel like she, I feel the fact that she also isn't a white blonde girl, that also will always leave you to be the receptacle of anybody's, like, off-rip.
Yeah.
Unconsciously.
Because especially the messenger, they're like, oh, I'm not going to let you.
I'm not going to let you tell me anything. What's number two?
So number two, the second biggest, like, reaction she gets is people who, like, don't understand the cycle of fashion, are mad about it, and also, like, think their moms are ugly. So
okay.
So I'm just going to let you read this selection of comments because there are a lot on this.
This is how my mom dressed in the 90s. I feel like this makes people look more boxy and doesn't emphasize curves nicely. Not as flattering. Dear Gen Z stylish people, the thing is, we millennials don't want to look like our moms looked in the 90s. Okay, I didn't mess it up. This girl just doesn't use any...
Like, again, like, they're in a blind rage commenting this.
I feel so torn about these. They feel like what my mom wore in the 90s. As a millennial, my mom wore this in 1995. As a millennial, this looks outdated to me. I grew up watching my middle-aged mother wear this in the 90s, and it always felt like it aged her. That's all their people are saying. Tell me your styles from 1994 without telling me your styles. Your outfits look like 1990s. Blah, blah, blah. So basically, everything that made us cringe when we saw our pics in the 90s came back to torture us.
So I'm like, why is everyone coming for their moms? I thought my mom looked nice in the 90s.
I know, me too.
I don't know why everyone's
she was pretty cool.
I don't want to look like my shit mom. My mom looked like hell every single day of my childhood. And I don't want to. I'm like, whoa.
This is cringe. I think they mean the mom jeans because it's high-waisted, looser ankle, and all this stuff. And like, you know, again, fashion is cyclical. So it's like the immediate like bell bottom or skinny ribbed. Low-waisted, you know, jean was a rejection of that. But then people reject that too. It's just like, that is how fashion works.
And that's the thing is like, so the next kind of like thing of comments are people who like perceive what she's saying to be that you should throw out all of your clothes, which is not, you know, what she's saying. And in fact, personally, I think that what you should take, if you're seeing this and going, oh my God, the 90s are back in, just put the skinny jeans away for a little while.
They're gonna come back.
It's just right now, that like fashion, I think they say it's on like a 20, 30 year cycle. So it actually makes perfect sense that 90s style is back in. So it's very weird, this, like, people being like, oh, so the new trend is just to look like the 90s?
Yes. Yeah. Because in the yeah. 90s, and then there was also, like, the 90s were like the 70s, or the 2000s were like the 70s, and the this and that.
Yeah.
And also, like, again, you know, you don't have to do anything. And again, like, if you're just going to Target or the store, like, you don't have to, you can wear whatever you want to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
If you want to wear something more fashionable or trendy, then you have this. You don't have to throw out anything.
You don't have to. And so now, basically, she's had to add a disclaimer to all of her videos saying literally that yeah. to every video, being like, if you don't want to wear what I'm wearing, that's fine. So there are also the people who equate updating your outfits with trying to look younger.
Okay.
And, or think it's just dumb to care about fashion generally. So okay. there's... The thing is, most people don't care about these new trends. The only people that really care are people in high school, which I don't
think so.
I mean, you don't have to care about fashion, but some people care about fashion for their entire life.
Life, yeah. Like,
some people, and also, she'll sometimes get these she got one comment that she responded to that was like, it's giving early 30s. And she was like, yeah, I'm 29.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to look like I'm 20. I'm just trying to look like it's 2023.
Yeah, like a fashionable 30-year-old. And that's the thing. I think the thing, too, that people don't know is that there's a difference between fashion trends and style.
Yeah.
And you can style your look following the trends. You don't have to follow every trend. But it's like, she's not saying to wear, like, there is certain trends that are, like, the big boots, the tights, the short shirt skirt, like, the big yeah. multi-layer shit. Like, she's not saying that. She's saying wear, like, looser-fitting jeans and, like, a plain sweater instead of this thing that looks, like, a little dated.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and that goes for older women, that goes for this, that goes, like, it doesn't really matter, like, if you're trying to look young or not. And then also, if you don't like fashion, period, and you think it's all frivolous, then don't watch the video.
Yeah, why
then
are you
not
even
for you.
Why are you even watching this video? So, yeah, it's like, here's another one. Some of us aren't style chasers. We don't need what's trendy to tell us what to wear. If you're in your 30s and you're still chasing fads, then you need to grow up. Nothing will ever beat personal style and taste.
Okay, and she sounds just, like she can't dress.
Yeah, and it's just like, she's not telling you to, like, put butterfly clips in your hair as a 30-year-old or, like, wear things. I mean, I have. Mm-hmm. But, like, she's just saying, honestly, this is what is in style right now for, like, a professional woman in her late 20s to mid-30s right yeah. now. Like, that's how she dresses. And I don't think that that's chasing trends, especially because if you see... Her style is definitely very much, she leans towards the oversized trend.
Yeah.
She is very monochrome, which mm-hmm. is also in right yeah. now in general. And I would say that she does include a lot of, like, basic staples, white tee, black yeah. tee, stuff like that, a lot of blazers. So, you know, she definitely has a style that is her style. And there are other things that are in style right now that are more colorful, more flamboyant. I know that her style doesn't...
At least lock size with me, as she says that.
Millie's wearing very colorful opera right now.
I just wonder if these women, like, write to Vogue. And they're like... Because Vogue will have... This literally could be a Vogue article.
And at the end of the day, it is very like, but what if I don't like beans? It's like, she's dressing herself with stuff from her closet. If you don't like that stuff, or you don't feel like it translates to you... This isn't the recipe for yeah, you. I also feel like there's something very hypocritical about, because she'll take outfits, if you look at, these are like very Pinterest-y, yeah. like very classically millennial Taylor Swift red yeah. type outfits. And it's very funny to say, like, it was okay to chase trends in 2014 when you were wearing this.
Yeah, of course.
But for you to say, okay, well, now I'm going to update my style to now, then that's, you're
well,
trying
that's
to
lame
look,
because you're third. You're in
yeah,
your 30s
you're chasing
or whatever,
styles.
Yeah.
That's bad. Whatever.
So, are you going to talk about the body discourse or yeah? Because yes. I did see something and I do have thoughts.
Yes. Okay. So, another element of this, I'm wondering, like, what part of the body discourse you want to talk about? Because a lot of people, They don't like the oversized trend. They say it makes them look frumpy.
Okay.
And she's had to respond a lot being like, you don't have to show off your body for something to be flattering. And then there was another comment that I didn't screenshot where a woman was like, show any of these videos to your husband. He'll definitely choose the millennial look. And I'm like,
okay, who cares, bitch?
I'm like, I absolutely don't give two shits. So to round this out, and we've kind of hit on this, but like, why do we think people perceive this as such an attack?
Yeah, I think people don't like to like feel old. I think people don't like to like realize that they're out of style or that like their cultural consciousness. But the thing is, people don't want to like come to the fact that they're aging or that the things that they like aren't at the center of content anymore. But the greatest thing about getting older, I feel like, is not giving a fuck. Like, you want to know what's going on and you want to know what's happening, but you don't have to take everything in.
No.
But I think it's this, like, really loud rejection or disappointment with the things that you like aren't cool or cutting edge. That's hard for people to accept. You know, I worked with some guys who were, like, these older white guys who feel like the pinnacle of movies and music was the 80s.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, music and movies have gotten, to me, I'm like, gotten so much more impressive. Like, there are good things, but like, you're not going to even have an open mind to anything that's coming out now. It's a hard pill to swallow, but in the same time, like, it's liberating because now you're not beholden to what everyone else is liking. You can figure out what you like and pick and choose what you fucking want.
The true freedom is to scroll away.
Yeah.
If you don't like this girl's videos and you don't care about updating your style and you want to die with skinny jeans on your legs, the true freedom is to scroll right on by.
There's a influencer who's like a food, he's an influencer and I feel like he speaks with a really heavy black scent and it makes me uncomfortable and his videos are so popular. I scroll so fast every time, mm-hmm. no matter what.
And guess what? Do that enough and TikTok will never show you him anything. Again. Yes. But comment and you leave a comment. That's the thing too, is if you leave a comment that's more than 5 words, TikTok and Instagram also pick up on that. Like that's considered high engagement. So if you're leaving a paragraph being like, I'm 40 and I don't care about any of this trend chasers, I don't need to do that. It's like, TikTok is now going to serve you updating millennial fits outfits all the time.
Yeah.
So just scroll on by and go touch grass.
And go touch grass, people. I'm so excited for today's curse content.
I'm really excited because, guys, just behind the scenes, Millie has been keeping a lock on this. She said, I do not want you to see what this is. I respect it. I have no idea what this is.
I've worked really hard to keep this a secret. This is cursed content.
Okay.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart Family Cards. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or whether you should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full-cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction, like The Women by Kristen Hanna, and Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
Cursed.
Okay.
Elise.
Okay.
Have you heard of the term Christian BBL.
I'm just taking it in.
A Christian BBL.
I'm letting the term waft over me. No, I have not heard the term Christian BBL.
Well, Elise, last week the term was trending on Twitter, okay. On Black Twitter. And it all started from a Christian YouTube influencer that goes by the name Sophiology, born Sophia Idahosa, and she shared a 39-minute video where she detailed the procedure where she got a Christian BBL. So she is a Christian influencer, and she got a BBL. And she talked about like how she got the procedure. She explained that she went to a Houston cosmetic surgeon named Dr. Jung Money for liposuction.
I'm sorry, Jung Dr. Jung Money.
For liposuction and a fat transfer to her hips. And her recovery will be 6 months overall. So her Christian followers started castigating her for doing such an evil thing. How can you say you love Christ and you're getting a BBL? Yeah. To please them, she said, no, it's a Christian BBL. People got more confused. Despite Christians believing that natural bodies are more religiously acceptable, she says that she got permission from God to get this BBL. Mm-hmm. So she says, okay. Here's a clip from her vlog titled Vlog, I Got a Christian BBL, addressing hate comments, how I feel about my results now. Elise, you know, now you know why I worked so hard to keep this from you. Because you need to know that there's a Christian BBL out there. God is shining upon us.
Isn't God like he created the BBL in a way, like before sure. the BBL, sure. he created the fat ass.
So here's the I Got a Christian BBL. That's the title of the blog vlog, right?
I Got a Christian BBL.
Don't get me wrong. I get there's people that are like pro natural bodies, like don't do anything to yourself, don't get veneers, don't do this one, don't do that one. I understand. I'm not personally that person. Like, I'm here for anything that makes you look better, feel better, have more confidence, and just enjoy your life. I also get that there are people that look up to me for certain things. I hope there's other things you can find to look up, but if it's that, I should have big back and wide waist. Hold on. That's not what I want you to look up to me for. And whatever choices I make in my life, I beg, have your disappointment and make a decision. Do you love me, yes or no? Genuinely, all jokes aside, I can tell that even some of you that were like disappointed, like, why does she have to do this? I hate that she did this. You're still here to support. And honestly, that means a lot to me. I'm being true to myself, and that's not easy. So it feels good. It feels good.
So
is what makes a Christian BBL, is it a Christian BBL because she's Christian and got the BBL?
Is there, yeah, so the comments are, is there a part where she tells us what a Christian BBL is? The world wants to know. Calling it a Christian BBL. So she says that she calls it a Christian BBL because she insists that she got spiritual permission from God to get
Love
the
it.
BBL.
Absolutely.
The explanation wasn't acceptable to many social media users.
It's acceptable to me.
Okay.
So I say sure. Yeah, you ask God for a BBL, if you can get a BBL, and he said, yeah.
So I think this is cursed because, again, and cursed content is like content that makes us, you know, question about the state in the world, mm-hmm. you know. As I like to quote Donald Trump, America is going to hell.
As I like to quote
and
Donald
from Trump,
Trump
the USA is going to hell. And I personally think it's cursed because a lot of her language is the invocation and appropriation of both body positivity and Christianity to justify probably what is arguably one of the most dangerous cosmetic surgeries one can get, because there's a lot of veins in your ass, mm-hmm. that you can, and the recovery is 6 months. You cannot sit down or lay down for 6 months after this. And to just be like, oh, like, I'm going to do what's good for my, yes. Like, and I'm not against surgery. I'm not against any plastic surgery.
Do what you want.
Do what you want. I'm just like, I hate when people co-opt body positivity, which is about accepting and people being treated with respect and love for
their natural body.
For their natural body. For that to be co-opted for, you know, just...
To get a BBL
and say that God, whatever.
And that God wanted you to get a BBL. You know what is coming up for me?
What's coming up
top
for
of
you?
Mind is this is kind of a reverse Black China, because Black China became Christian and got her BBL taken out.
Yes.
So it's just interesting to see, you know,
she got difference. All her surgeries reversed.
She got everything removed, but I remember
the BBL specifically.
BBL specifically, because the BBL removal is as intense as the BBL putting in insertion.
Well, there was a lot of, so the memes were crazy. They were so fun. And there was a lot of memes about Christian BBLs. And someone was like, is it because it's like you get it around Easter and it comes back? Somebody put a really beautiful, there's like a photo of Black China in front of a cross. And they put like me after I get my Christian BBL.
I will say that, like, and I'm not an expert and I'm not like a member of like the Christian religious community, but I don't think that Jesus says anything one way or another about the BBL.
I don't think so either.
I can't recall. I did go to a Christian elementary school where we had Bible study, and I am fairly certain that Jesus is at least neutral on the BBL. And it's not even like a gay situation where, okay, Jesus didn't talk about the BBL, but it's in the Old Testament. I don't even think the Old Testament probably doesn't
have anything about BBL.
Doesn't address the BBL. So I really actually think, you know, a BBL is neither Christian nor non-Christian.
I mean, it's probably the most atheist.
It's agnostic. A BBL is agnostic.
Well, I do feel like if, you know, you might need to find God if you, maybe you need a stronger relationship. If you say, you see, the thing about God is that he came to Moses and he said, you need to like free your people and go somewhere else. God talked to Sophia. He's like, you need a BBL.
You need a BBL.
So just God.
God has said wilder things.
Sure.
You know, God came to the Virgin Mary and he said, you're pregnant with my son.
And,
you know, and then he went to Joseph and said, your wife's pregnant with my son.
And so, then he told Sophie.
And he said, so Sophie, you need a BBL. And you have to get one.
And just a little bonus of cursed content. I just want to leave you with this little nugget real quick.
God told me and my husband to create the very first Christian nightclub here in LA. Right now, Christians have nowhere to have fun. Like, we're not going to normal clubs. We're not going to bars. We ain't going to parties. So Christians need a space to turn up in a wholesome environment that allows us to just be united for Jesus, okay? This is the start of a humongous movement, okay? There will be Christian spaces on every corner representing fun that we can have without weed, drinks, and other worldly stuff. So right now, this one is coming to LA. Please like and share this post so people from LA can see this and we can turn up, okay?
God is sending a lot of messages. Start a nightclub. Get a BBL.
Yeah.
I did not realize, you know.
God's not talking to you, at least.
No, God hasn't said shit to me. I got to be honest, but.
Can you imagine an America where there's a place for Christians to go on every corner?
You know what?
You mean church, bitch?
Yeah. This is kind of what Hillsong Church was.
Well.
Put a pin in that discourse.
That was a great documentary.
But that is kind of what Hillsong was trying to do, is be like, let's have a place for sexy Christians to listen to, like, Christian rock and be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why a Christian couldn't
go to a regular club
and just not drink or smoke.
Well, they don't
want
to be tempted.
Yeah, they don't want to be around the worldly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What music are they going to play at the Christian
club? Probably Christian hip hop.
Well, you know what? If they want to do that, God told them to start the club. So who am
God I? God didn't say anything about Gaza. God didn't say shit about poverty.
No.
God didn't say shit. God said,
start a club
and get a BBL. And that's that on that. That's our cursed content segment.
And it cursed it was.
Cursed it was. Finally. Elise.
All right. I'm excited for this because this topic I do know about.
Yeah, we...
This topic, I almost was like, I'm going to do this for the discourse. And Millie was like, we had a conversation about me doing it for Grasshole in the car after our launch party. And I was like, oh, yeah. Right.
I literally am like, I want to talk about this. And she's like, oh, my God, great idea. I want to talk about this. And the next day she's like, I want to do this. And I'm like, Elise.
And you're like, you were like, do you not remember? And I was like, no, I remembered. Was hungover in bed all day. Absolutely did not remember. But I'm excited to talk about it now.
Great, because the Grasshole of the Week goes to Kate Curran. And this is all about book drama.
Ooh, book and, drama.
And authors.
Goodreads.
And Goodreads, yes. Now, Goodreads is an American social cataloging website that allows individuals to search its database of books, annotations, quotes, and reviews. Users can sign up and register books to generate library catalogs and reading lists. They can also create their own groups of book suggestions, surveys, polls, and discussions. These are people who are avid readers. This is fun. Like, they're on Goodreads all the time.
Yeah, and my understanding is that, like, as an author, especially, like, a new author, yes, even a self-published author, yes, Goodreads is, like, very important.
Yes.
And also fraught.
Yes.
Place to be.
Somebody said, is there a place where I can chronicle like what I've been reading that's not like Goodreads? Goodreads is literally like people under a bridge stabbing each other. Like, and if you don't know why, we're gonna get into it.
Yeah, I think that Goodreads can
get a lot of drama.
Yeah,
and that's what we're gonna talk about today. Again, like Elise said, it's an important pillar of independent authors, and they rely on good reviews just like we do. We rely on
and leave a five
leave
star
a five star review
for this podcast.
Give us a good
us
rating.
So
we need
much.
It so much. Basically, in early November 2023, somebody made a slew of fake Goodreads accounts to review bomb a few 2024 debut books. The authors gave a bunch of one-star reviews to books by new authors like Danielle Jensen and Molly Chang, amongst others. In addition, one of the accounts called Tasty Spam put other debut authors under lists called Fake Reviews, Bad Writing. So sometimes, you know, I know you're not on Twitter anymore, but for example, something like Twitter would do is like if people like you, they'll put you on a list. Like, you know, I'll have some of my tweets. People think they're funny. Once in a while, I'll get a notification. Steve Johnson puts you on his comedians, like funny yeah. comedians. List. Or like Jessica Hen, whatever, puts you on not funny comedians list. Yeah. They're like comedians who like suck.
Woke list. Loser list.
Yeah, woke loser list. I've been on a lot of woke loser lists. So it's the same thing. You can put a book and be like, I like this book. Or like, if you're looking for rom-coms with strong female leads, go here. Or you can, or like this person said, this is bad writing list, you know? So people were obviously distraught. Why are my books, I'm in like a self-published author, I'm an independent author. Why are my books getting one-star reviews? And apparently there's an author Slack channel, which again, any new Slack or like, you know, whatever group.
It's going to go down.
It's going to go down.
It's going to go down in the niche Slack channel.
In
you
the niche,
know that it is.
Exactly. So they went on, all the authors are on their author Slack channel and they try to figure out what's going on. And they found out that every single spam account that low rated everyone's book was giving Kate Curran's anticipated debut, Crown of Starlight, 5 stars. Shady, shady, shady. On December 6, 2023, which was like last week, debut author Ziran J. Zhao tweeted, If you as a debut author are going to make a bunch of fake Goodreads accounts, one star bombing fellow debuts, you're threatened by, you can at least not make it so obvious by upvoting your book on a bajillion different lists with those same accounts. So basically, yeah, she's like, if you're going to do this shit, don't make it so obvious. Then in the Slack channel, shit got crazy. Kate said, it wasn't me. It was my friend Lily. And then she shared screenshots of a conversation with her saying to her friend Lily, Lily, what the hell? What are you doing? Why'd you give these books one star reviews and my book five star reviews? What the fuck is your problem? And Lily's like, I'm sorry, I thought it was helping. And Kate's like, I can't believe you did that. But guess what? There's a problem. Some timestamps on Kate's conversations with Lily said today, while others said yesterday. So the timestamps were all fucked up. And on top of that, Lily's Discord account has been deleted. There was no profile of Lily. People aren't sure Lily even existed.
So it's interesting to me how not slick this person is. Like, to use the same account that you're downvoting to upvote, that's amateur sloppy. Hour. That's amateur very, hour. Very sloppy.
She should have gave herself one or five-star other people. But that, again, not count.
Yeah, and if you're gonna doctor some receipts, the timestamp is a crucial element for you to make sure it makes sense.
Yeah, but this person's not thinking. So people weren't convinced that it wasn't Kate.
No, I wouldn't be.
Well,
and I'm not.
Then you're not. Then author Bethany Baptiste, this is funny to me, but strangers want to know so y'all don't support that author while simultaneously not supporting the debuts affected anyway. That's why nobody's saying anything right now. This is hot tea for y'all. Meanwhile, debuts have to deal with an albino snake in the hen house. Let us process this. So again, the kind of gist of that thing is like, while you guys are all laughing about this crazy tea, it has a negative effect on a lot of debut authors. Like, those one-star reviews aren't going away, like all this stuff. And now we have to deal with a traitor, an albino snake in the hen house. Well, people did not like the albino snake in the hen house. They called it ableist. Mm. They called it ableist, which I'm like, that person needs to go touch grass. Yeah. If you don't know that saying, you need to go touch grass. Anyway, when Kate had no recourse, she went online and admitted it. She finally admitted that she did it in an apology and said that she'd been struggling with depression, alcoholism, and substance abuse. And she had a psychological breakdown, which, again, is not funny. It's a very real thing. We're not going to make fun of that. But I'm just saying, Elise, have you ever struggled? Well, personally, if you live in New York City, you've struggled with all those things. Depression, alcoholism, substance abuse.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a depression, alcohol abuse, substance abuse issue so bad that you were kind of racist online?
I really hope not. Yeah. I would say no. I mean, I would say that I'm not photoshopping things. Like, there's just a lot of intentionality behind creating multiple fake accounts, review bombing certain people, upvoting your stuff, creating fake receipts for this conversation. Like, it's too much stuff and time to feel like you can attribute it to like an acute mental health episode.
Well, and I guess I wasn't clear about this earlier, but a lot of the authors that were pointed out that were one star reviewed were up and coming people of color authors. Yeah. You know, Kate was specifically kind of targeting people of color authors, which people were uncomfortable about.
Another thing I read about this, because I had seen this discourse, is that something that a lot of people were saying is that this Kate Corrane, she actually had the world handed to her on. She had everything that an author would want for their debut. She had an actual publisher behind her. She had an agent. All of this stuff. Apparently, the book that she was writing was pretty well anticipated because she's a member of the
RILO, which is a whole. Oh my god!
It's a Star Wars fandom dedicated to shipping Rey and Kylo Ren. So I guess she rose to prominence in that fan fiction world.
Because a lot of people who make fan fiction about that, like, they are also authors and they have a whole community.
Well, fan fiction,
start talking about fan fiction, it gets crazy.
Yeah, fan fiction becoming real books in the real world is like a whole thing. Because 50 Shades of Grey was Twilight fan fiction.
Exactly.
So I think that her book...
One day your fan fiction where a hot... What is it? Somebody who's smarter than Hermione and hotter named
yes,
Elise.
Yes, listen, it was her name was Addie.
Oh, sorry.
My fan fiction self-insert's name was Addie.
Okay.
And her mom was the Wizarding World's most famous model, which okay. is why I was allowed to go to Hogwarts in my fifth year.
Okay, you can get saying, it right. You're saying you and then Addie, you're switching it up.
I am Addie.
So okay,
and I'll be clear that I am Addie, but I didn't want to say that at the time.
Okay.
But either way, I do think that this book she was writing was kind of a 50 Shades of Grey Twilight fanfiction situation. Like she... It was maybe originally Raylo fanfiction that became
And then
this
it turned
book.
It, but like, yeah, a lot of people start with fanfiction and keep pushing their things, and then it actually can turn into a career for some, and she was one of these people. And again, and it was not only in a, not only like much anticipated, but it was like part of, there's like book subscription groups, like a book club
yeah.
shit. So she got like a book club shit, which is like automatically 20,000 or 10, you know?
Yeah, like if you get into Book of the Month or
Book
something.
Book of the Month or something, like a lot of people are going to read it. And she kind of squandered it herself out of jealousy for other people.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, who among us hasn't five-starred our own stuff.
Oh,
I'll tell you, if you look at this podcast right now, the very first review says, "This is my podcast, and I really like it.
I don't leave a comment. I'll just put a five-star review.
It's me, and it says Ali Mo, and that, you'll find it, it's me.
That's so funny.
Five-starring your own shit, that's part of the artistic process, I believe. But to downvote other
people.
I would never downvote anybody else's shit. That's where she went wrong, is to actually go and, yeah, be... So
I'll
jealous
make five
that
star
you're gonna...
reviews and
oh,
I'll make a bunch of fake accounts and five star my shit.
That honestly, that's
charges
part of
to the game.
Exactly.
Charge it to the game.
Well, if she had just stayed there.
But she just had to get nasty with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but to actually go and downvote other people.
And
is
then
where
not
it's
to come
up.
Out with it automatically and just be like, yo, my bad. I have to actually, I need, because somebody mentally all there. Is not gonna do this. Like somebody who's like in a good place mentally is not gonna downvote all this shit. But like, yeah, it's like, yo, you know what? I'm so sorry. My bad. I'm gonna come out with it. Like this isn't cool. I'm gonna seek treatment and talk to friends and
I let
shit.
The anxiety and pressure of a book release get the best of me, and like I gave into my worst impulses, and that's fucked up. I'm also wondering, like, can she delete the accounts that she did this from?
I mean, she should now.
Or change the reviews or something? Like, is there, like, a retroactive way she can do better?
I know. Well, the thing is that her debut got canceled.
Oof.
Her publishers and agents dropped her.
Oof.
And everything else was completely squandered. Again, the sad thing is that she did have a really promising career. And that's the thing is that you can't, like, but you know, that's why I'm calling her grasshole, because guess what? Listen, we've all been a little jealous. We've all been like hating some people I think aren't funny, aren't whatever, getting shit, getting jobs, fucking people who started out like that is part of the game. But guess what? I'll text Elise.
I know.
I'll text Marsha. I'll text some friends. And guess what? I'll walk my dog.
Yeah.
I'll go see family. I'll go to a spa. You got to get off the internet because
it's just
not even fucking matter.
You got to go touch grass.
You got to go touch grass. So, Kate Curran, go touch grass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And what an episode this was.
You guys, that was another episode of Go Touch Grass. This week on the Patreon, again, we have our search history that came out last week with the Gorilla Glue Girl Justice for Tessica Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a mini trending episode on the topic, on the saga of Matt Rife.
Yep.
And we recorded it 2 weeks ago, and Elise has to go back and record
I
more
have to
because
update.
So much has happened with that guy.
It's an ongoing saga, and we're going to keep you posted on our Patreon.
We're going to keep you posted. Without further ado, and guys, please don't forget to rate and review us.
Don't review bomb us.
Don't review
don't
bomb
create
us,
fake
please.
Accounts and one please. Star us. Create as many fake accounts as you want to five star us. That I don't care.
And I'll tell you something. If you're jealous of me, if you feel like I'm really doing a lot, if you feel like you're jealous of me, text me. Because I'll send you a screenshot of my bank statement. And then you will feel better about yourself.
Absolutely. I promise you I can provide similar receipts.
Yeah. So don't fucking one star us. We're doing our best.
We're out here doing
our best. We're out
here.
We're just trying, goddammit. So anyway, please review us. Five stars. Rate, subscribe. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.